Tirovatiti, Ashila Prabhupada, our beloved guru, savior, and father, everything. And he left this world, entered the spiritual world, Nityananda Purushottam, in 1977, November 14th at 7:20 p.m. in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Yamuna, gazing at the lotus feet of Radha Shyam, Krishna Bala, and Gauranitai, and the lotus feet of his beloved Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was surrounded by many loving devotees, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And all the demigods were showering flowers and playing dundubi drums and tamburus and so many horns to celebrate the auspicious entrance of Srila Prabhupada into the Nityalila of the Lord. Prabhupada chose to enter the Shayan Lila of the Lord, which is from 6:36 p.m. until 8:36 p.m. Then there's Pradosha Lila. Prabhupada was very fond of Gaur Lila, of course. He was a son of Gaur Mohan Dev, Radharaman Mohan and Gaur Krishna. So Radha and Krishna combined. Gaur Mohan Dev, I believe, is his father's name. Gaur Chaitanya Lila, Mohan, Madan Mohan, Sri Krishna, Vrindavan Lila. So he's born with parents, pure devotee, Shud Bhakta from Janam, and his mother and father were pure devotees of Radha and Krishna and Lord Gauranga. So he has a very auspicious divine appearance and a divine departure. Avirbhav Tirobhav, everything divine about divinity. His appearance, his words, his movements, his contribution, everything was divine. He was especially many. All the various gurus, they represent the Lord. The Vaishnava gurus represent Krishna, Adi Guru Krishna, Adi Shishya Brahma. Krishna, Brahma, then Narad. So the gurus are representing the Krishna Shakti Murti. The guru, Sri Guru. Sri Guru is the Murti of Kripa. Krishna Kripa Murti. And they speak Hari Katha, Ram Katha, Vishnu Katha. And they have hold yagyas and pujas and build temples to worship their Thakurji Puja, Archan Marg, etc. And they engage in Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam, Navavida Bhakti, and engage their followers in Ram Smaran, or Krishna Nam, Krishna Smaran. And they help and benefit human beings and other living entities throughout the world, wherever they go, the great acharyas of Lord Ram's teachings and Lord Vishnu's teachings and Krishna's teachings. But there's some speciality in Gaur and Gauranga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki?
Yeah.
That Vishesh Gun. Very special quality in this golden avatar, Patita Pavana avatar. Kali Yuga Prem Purushottam Patita Pavan Avatar Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki.
Yeah.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu, there's some Vishesh. Now Vishesh is the Nityananda aspect of his heart. The eternally blissful aspect of Gauranga's heart. That eternally blissful aspect of Gauranga's heart is the eternally blissful aspect of Krishna's heart. And the eternally blissful aspect of Krishna's heart is Ladini Srimati Radharani. She's eternally blissful. She is Mahabhav Sarupini Bliss Personified. And when Radha and Krishna combine as Gauranga, then Radharani takes her form of Karuna and she packs it in the heart of Gauranga. And Gauranga takes his Karuna, his compassion, out of his heart. And he expresses he expresses his Karuna as Nityananda. Nityananda is the Karuna Shakti of Gauranga. Now we say Kripa Shakti. So the gurus and acharyas and the Vaishnava char, what they call char sampradaya, which doesn't include us, by the way, but in the char sampradaya, when they have these Kumbh Melas, they have the char sampradaya and the mahants and gurus. The four Vaishnava sampradayas, Sri and Kumar sampradaya, Sri sampradaya, Rudra sampradaya, and Brahma sampradaya, they have, their gurus are considered the murtis of Krishna's kripa. Krishna, Vasudeva Sri Krishna, Vaikuntha Sri Krishna. And their goal, the mercy they distribute through the Ram Sampradaya, Vishnu Sampradaya to their followers and Shishya, the Paramgati is Ayodhya Dham or Vaikuntha Dham. But Gauranga is something different, because he is distributing through his Karuna expansion, which is called Nityananda Shakti. His Nityananda Shakti has a form, and the form of Nityananda Shakti is Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Radha, Nityananda Prabhu, Krishna. Sri is Radha and Prabhu is Krishna. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. So Nityananda is the Nityananda Shakti of the heart of Krishna, which is Radha. In her compassionate form in Kali Yuga, that's Nityananda. So this is when a guru, an acharya in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, he's a representative of something very extraordinary. He's not only the Krishna Kripa Murti, he's a form of the mercy of God, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, because he disseminates Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Yari Deki Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Guru Agya Gaya Guru Hane Tari Desh, that he gives a Krishna Shiksha. Bolo Krishna Koro Shiksha Vajra Krishna Shiksha. He teaches people to do Krishna Bhajan and to follow Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Dharman Prityajya Mame Kam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Pavyo Mokshaya Shri Mahashicha. And he teaches Bhagavad Puran. So he teaches Ishopanishad and all the Vaishnava literatures, which is Krishna Shiksha to Brahma and Narada and Yudhisthira and so many saints and rishis inquiring about various transcendental subject matters. But Gaudiya gurus, they're considered not only representatives, not only Krishna Kripa Murti, but they're Radha Kripa Murti. And they're Nityananda Kripa Murti, something extraordinary. Because they're not merely representing Vasudeva Sri Krishna, Krishna Shakti Vaikuntha, Paramgati, they're representing Nityananda Shakti, Radharani Shakti, which means they're representing Braja Ladini, not the Vaikuntha Anand, or the bliss of going to Vaikuntha as a Paramgati, as a Krishna, Vishnu, Ram, Bhakta, but the bliss of being in the intimate entourage of Radha and Krishna's eternal servitors in the groves of Vrindavan. Braj Bhakti, Braja Bhakti. So they're very extraordinary personalities. There are three forms of mercy in one. They're Krishna Shakti Murti, they're Nityananda Shakti Murti, Ladini Shakti, all in one. The Radha Prabhupada's telling in the purport, which is told in the Adi Lila, chapter 4, I believe, purport, he says, the spiritual masters in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya are either representatives of Srimati Radharani, Radharani Kripa Shakti Murti, or Nityananda, Sri Nityananda Shakti Murti, Kripa, Nityananda Kripa Murti. And this is something special. He said they are either one or the other or both. If they're immersed in Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela, then they're representing Nityananda Shakti and Radha Shakti. And they can't help but be representatives of both. So when Prabhupada went to the West, unlike his Guru Maharaj, established Mahaprabhu, Rasraj Mahabhava, Mahaprabhu, one deity, the unified form of Radha Krishna, one beautiful Gauranga Murti in all the 64 temples except Mama Gachi and Gauranitai's special place, and he installed Gauranitai, Vrindavan Thakur's place, Modadrum Dweep, I think, Mama Gachi, and Navadweep Dham. But he had slight departure because he was representing a little slightly different form of mercy. Whereas Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is representing Radha's mercy, Nityananda's mercy, especially Krishna Shiksha. He is very forcefully establishing Krishna Shiksha, and that Mahaprabhu is the combined tattva of Radha Govinda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. Prabhupada, knowing that and realizing that, he carried on the same line when he preached in India. When he opened his center in Jhansi, he installed Rasaraj Mahaprabhu, Nadidis in Mathura, Keshaji Goniman. And then when he was planning to preach in Calcutta, he bought one Murti of Mahaprabhu to install in Calcutta ISKCON. And in Mayapur, he had the deity of Mahaprabhu originally. When he went to New York, and he crossed the ocean, something happened. When Prabhupada left in 1965, in August or so, from Calcutta, then Janmashtami was about a few weeks later, which he celebrated in September on the ocean. Then something happened. He almost left this world and went back to the domain of Radha and Krishna. But then Nityananda and all the avatars, they entered inside of him. So when by the time he got to America, he understood that I must introduce Gauranitai. That actually, India has a few Jagai and Madhais, but America has nothing but Jagai and Madhais. Nothing that's capable of Jagai and Madhai. Derelicts, drunks, hippies, drug addicts, rejects. So I realized Nityananda entered into me. This is my personal understanding. Nityananda has deeply entered into me and said, Swami Bhaktivedanta, Bhaktivedanta Swami, I want you to be a representative of Nityananda Shakti. I want you, of course you'll teach Krishna Shiksha and you'll boldly teach Bhagavad Gita as it is. And you will establish the real teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Man mana bhava man bhakti man yaji mam namaskru mam eva shaisi satyam te prati jane priyosi me. Become Krishna's lover, become Krishna's devotee, surrender to Krishna, worship Krishna. Not me or the unborn within me or the five senses of Panchindriya, Panchpandava or the Brahman in your heart and your God, all this bogus Bhagavad Gita. No, as it is. And he did it. But to spread Braj Bhakti and the mercy of Radha and Radha Bhakti, then that required Nityananda Shakti, which is Ladini Shakti. The eternal bliss potency of Krishna's heart is Radha, Ladini. And when she expresses her compassion form in the heart of Gaur, she manifests Nityananda Shakti. And when Gauranga manifests Nityananda Shakti outside of his heart, he becomes the Shaktivesha avatar of Nityananda Shakti, and he can spread Braja Prem and Radha Govinda Prem Yugal Seva all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
And he did it. And therefore, the most senior, recognized, and realized disciple of Nityalila Pravishna, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who Bhakti Siddhanta recognized, he amongst all of you, he will uphold my teachings. He will carry forth my teachings. He didn't say you're the Acharya, this, that. But Acharya is established by brilliance of Tej, effulgence, Bhakti Tej, your brilliant sunlight of your realizations, and your purity, and your prabhav, and your influence, and how much you're a channel of divinity. Then you're the actual Acharya, or Guru, Acharya Shrestha, the Acharya Surya, the Acharya Sun, and there may be many. And Prabhupada said, I want all my disciples to be. And so when he said, I want, they will. What Prabhupada wants means I will. They will. Prabhupada said, I want all my disciples to be guru. That means they will be guru. If not this life, next life. the want, the wish, the ambition. The Ichcha Shakti of the Guru is not different from the Ichcha Shakti of Bhagavan. If there is, then there, he's not Guru. Guru Bhagavan Eki Tattva. Acharya Mam Vijaniyan. Acharya Mam Vijaniyan. Navamanyeta Karichit. Sarvadeva Maya Guru. This Guru. He says, I want all my disciples to be Guru. If not now, 10 years from now, if not 10 years, 30 years, if not now, 99 years. But they will be. They are now, and they will be if they're not. So Prabhupada, this person, Bhakti Rakshak, the guardian devotion, this title was given by his Guru. Guru gave so many titles to different devotees. Seva Ratna, and many, many beautiful titles to honor his devotees and to encourage them in a transcendental pratishtha. It was transcendental pratishtha, it was beautiful. And everyone got some kind of title. If they did anything, surrendered. He was given this title by Bhakti Siddhanta, given sannyas by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You are Bhakti Rakshak. And what are some of the specialities of this person? Whenever there was no tape recorders, whenever Bhakti Siddhanta, because I'm watching this devotee here, and remind me, whenever Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would travel and give lectures, there was one devotee that would sit in front. He didn't have a notebook, but he had an IBM up here because of his janam. And his name was Bhakti, it was Sridhar Dev Goswami. And he would just sit there like this, like a yogi, because he was a Baal Brahmachari and Nastik Brahma, just sit there, listen to his guru's lectures. So minutely at all, and that's not easy. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He would listen minutely to his lectures, all the different fine points. Then later, he said himself, I've heard from his mouth, he said, and it was his own honesty, he said, I was actually famous amongst all of my godbrothers in the 20s and 30s, that they would ask me, can you tell us what Guru Maharaj said again in the lecture? It was a little bit high for us. It was so high that my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami, said, I would listen, but I didn't really understand what he was saying. Of course, that's Prabhupada's humility. And maybe partially true, we don't know. But that's his statement of Sinha Lilamrita. I knew it was good for me to hear. But you can read the harmonist and his language and you understand. The godbrothers, can you tell us? He would just, like a tape recorder. And so his Guru Maharaj, whenever someone said, Guru Maharaj, can you tell us again what you said? Ask Sridhar Dev. He was given a nickname in the Gaudiya Math, Guru Maharaj's tape recorder. No, because they didn't have this term, tape recorder. He was called Guru Maharaj's... Who's that guy that wrote Ganesh, wrote the Vedas? He was called Guru Maharaj's Ganesh. Because whatever Guru Maharaj said, and he was everywhere practically, wherever he traveled. He's a leading six sannyasis, 1921 or some way back when. The original five sannyasis, Sri Maharaj. And so he was called Guru Devi Bhakti, Srila Bhakti Sanatas Ganesh. So I want to tell about the exaltation of Sridhar Maharaj as a stepping stone to the glorification of my Guru. They're not exclusive. So then, if that's not enough of recognition, to be called of all, and everyone got different titles, but Bhakti Rakshak, they said, and he said when he met all the sannyasis, I am confident that when I leave, my teachings will be preserved and carried on by my beloved sannyasi. So after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta left, Sridhar Maharaj became the Shiksha Guru for all the leading devotees. And way back before that even happened, he was Prabhupada's intimate friend, guide, beloved teacher, etc. Shiksha Guru. So after seeing Prabhupada's accomplishment and his entrance into Nitya Lila, because he lived afterwards, he was born in 1895, Prabhupada was born in 1896, and Sridhar Maharaj left in 1989 or 90, quite some years after Prabhupada, at old age, at advanced age, 99 or very old. So he was so much helpful, and he, after seeing, surveying and hearing all the reports from all the Prabhupada disciples and GBCs and Jayavataka, and everyone used to go hear from him, Bhakti Churu, Jayavataka, hear all their voices on the old days, because they were... There was all friendly party, and he was advising them after the transition period. And then He had heard everything and read so many reports, so he knew very much about ISKCON, and Prabhupada was sending him letters, we did this, we did that. So he said, it's very clear to me, without a doubt, that your Guru Maharaj was Nityananda Shakti. He was the embodied Shakti Vesha, Nityananda, Sri Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So he's carrying Radharani's Ladani Shakti as Nityananda Shakti, and he's carrying the knowledge and bliss, sambit, potency of Vasudeva Sri Krishna. Everything he's carrying into the hearts of his followers. Then, in 1966, and on into infinity. And this one further glorification, because Prabhupada would be very, very happy to hear me glorify his God brother also. That's even better. If I glorify someone's wife, you'll like it more than if I glorify you, naturally. But they're inseparable. Not only was he recognized like this, but when Bhakti Siddhanta wanted to choose a devotee to represent him and the Gaudiya mission in Europe, in the English-speaking countries, he chose Sridhar Maharaj. First and best choice for every reason I've told. And Sridhar Maharaj said, Guru Maharaj, I am your sannyas, I am your dog, I am your everything. Ultimately, I will do whatever you say. Without question, without holding back, I'll do anything, whatever you say. But I must state my feelings. I have a difficulty understanding the intonation of the Western speaking people. He knew English perfectly, and he speaks like some English poet. His preaching in English is so poetic and profound and eloquent. It's inimitable. No one can imitate. It's one of a kind. It's like Bhakti Siddhanta, but a little softer, a little easier, and very sweet and poetic in English. And I can't really compare because I don't know the Bengali of Bhakti Siddhanta, but generally was told it wasn't so sweet, it was rather piercing. He said a Bhagavatam in one hand. Bhakti Siddhanta said, I preach with a Bhagavatam in one hand and Parashuram's chopper in the others. Tom! Mayavadi's chopping, this, that. This, that, fake, charlatans, cheaters, this, that. So he said, Gurudev, there's two problems I have. Please hear me. I don't understand their intonation, the way they speak English very well. And secondly, it's not my habit to mix up with such people. Because he's born in East Bengal, Smartha Brahmin family, pure Sadachar from his birth. His family is Chakravarti, and I think Chakravarti, very, very high Brahmins, and they're the type of Brahmins, if someone steps on your shadow, you have to take a bath, and if some get a drop of water in your head, you give up your caste, like this. So he said, Guru Maharaj, I have not much inclination to mix with these people. So Guru Maharaj said, I understand. You will do your work here. You'll do your work in India. Which he did. He opened Madras Center and Bombay Center and Malalabad Center and so many centers. You'll do your work here, I understand. So Nityananda Shakti, this is Prabhupada. He said, Nityananda Shakti. That's why he was able to do phenomenal work, because he had Prabhupada all the power of Nityananda. What does that mean, Nityananda Shakti? It means he has all the power of pure love. Nityananda, the eternally Nitya, eternal Anand, eternal blissful potency of Krishna is whom? Srimati Radharani, Ladini Shakti, satisfaction, Alad, bliss. So, Nityananda Shakti, Janma Mata had Nityananda Shakti, and she spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. She was Nityananda's consort, she was, and his Shakti, and he was a Shakti Man, but she also had a Nityananda Shakti. Because who is she? She's Anangamanjari. And who is Nityananda? Anangamanjari. And Anangamanjari is Ananga, an Anga. She's an Anga of Radharani. She's Radharani's younger sister. Nityananda appeared as Gauranga's older brother. But there was some, the mood, there wasn't enough sweetness and intimacy if you're the older brother, because the younger brother, Gaur, always looked up to the older brother. So, Nityananda was thinking, I want to have that sweetness of being submissive. So they said, I'll become younger. So he became younger, Anangamanjari. in his Madhurya form, Nityananda became a Nagamandri, he was Radharani's younger sister. So then a little bit up below, and so then the sweetness of Radharani will flow down. Sweetness is like water, it flows down the mountain. Sneha. So Anangamandri becomes the object of Sneha for Radhika. Oh, you're my younger sister. Krishna's like this. She tells little secrets about Krishna. So then the Sneha goes from the older sister to the younger sister. So Nityananda, he carried that sweetness of Ananga, and that speciality of Radharani's heart that she revealed. And that Nityananda Shakti entered into Prabhupada, which made him so sweet, or makes him so sweet, and so especially powerful, that he has the love potency of Radha and the mercy potency of Nittai. Because Nityananda is the mercy potency of Gauranga. He said, I want to relish Radha Bhava, but at the same time, my heart's potency, my Karuna Shakti is saying, what about me? You're supposed to express Karuna, your Patita Bhavan avatar. I'm resting in your heart. Now, that's me. You know, I'm in your heart. Who's in your heart? Gauranga, who's in your heart? Radharani. You want to relish my Bhadani. You want to relish my Ladani. You want to relish my Mahabhav. That's my Ladani. And understand my Mahabhav. But I also have my Karuna Shakti, my love. I want to help others. Oh yeah, Karuna Shakti, I have to do something with you. So then he called Nittai and said, Nittai, I have this Karuna Shakti of Radha and I have to do something with it. All this compassion, I have to spread and, you know, help all these people. But I'd rather relish my Ladani of Radharani's heart in my heart. So let me, you take it. So he took out this Nityananda Shakti, his eternal blissful potency, which is Ladani Radha, and he placed it in the heart of Nittai, and he said, go door to door in Bengal on my behalf and do prachar, because I'm going Gambira. I'm going deep. I'm going to Gambira. Guda, Gufa. I'm going, you in the Gufa it's dark. You know, it's 20 feet down. You can't see in the well. It's all dark. It's quiet. It's confidential. It's close. It's close. And well is close. Two guys are stuck in a well. They're like this. So Gauranga wants to go in the well of Mahabhav and be stuck between Lalita and Vishakha. And that's the Gambira Leela. Deep, confidential. Stuck deep in the dark well of Mahabhav, Swarupini Radha's teachings and rasa. A well is full of water. Water means rasa. Mellow. So the Gambira is a well full of rasa, Madhurya rasa, Sringar rasa. So Gauranga says, I'm submerging. Dive. And the submarines go down in the water when they're getting bombed. Dive. So he dove deep into the well of the Gambira, deep into the love and the heart of Rama and Lalita and Vishakha, and learned all about Radharani. He said, yes, Radharani's teaching me through her parampara, Radhikara. Prema Guru Ami Shishyanat. That was spoken by Gauranga in the Bhava Radha. So now Nityananda says yes, and Lord Gauranga told him, he gave him the shiksha. He said, go give Krishna shiksha like an ordinary guru does. Vajo Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Koro Krishna shiksha. Gauranga told Nityananda, now that you're my merciful representative, you're my compassion, you're my Patita Pavan. So then Nityananda took Haridas, because taking Haridas means you're some kind of Brahmin, Hadai Pandit's Bacha, Sutta, born in Eka Chakra. We know you're Brahmin by birth, but you're acting like Shudra, like drunk Avadut, we don't know. And we judge you by your association, you're not moving with Brahmins. Your Gauranga moved only with Brahmins. Gangadas Pandit, Srivas Pandit, Gadara Pandit, Jagannanda Pandit. He only moved with Brahmins. He only ate from the hand of a Brahmin. He only preached to Brahmins, Acharyas. Because he's a Mishra, he's a Brahmin. But you, what kind of Brahmin are you? You're going with drunks. You're judged by your association. You're a drunken avadut and you're going with Jagai and Madai, and you rather you go day after day, you like being with them. Hey, boys, preach Chan Hare Krishna. Not preach, but Chan Hare Krishna, stop drinking. And then you like him so much, you go again. We find Gauranga running from such people. So Gauranga, you know from Chaitanya Bhagavatam, when Garanga saw a materialist, what did he do? Jumped in the Ganga. As soon as he saw a materialistic person, a drunk, a jagai mother, he jumped in the Ganga. I don't want to see you. I had to purify even my clothes. I'd jump in my clothes and go home and get changed. So he's Paka. He's a Paka Brahman. We can understand. But Nityananda, he's looking at drunks. He's preaching to them. He's taking their karma by looking at them and taking their karma by speaking to them. And who's he moving with? Is he moving and all surrounded by Bala? Who's the servant of Garanga when he's traveling? Is it a Shudra? Is it a Vaishya? Are his servants even Kshatriyas? They're all Brahmins. Kala Krishnadas, Brahmin. Balabhadracharya, Brahmin. This one, that one. They're all Brahmins. You know, they're washing his clothes, cooking. You know, if you study Chaitanya Leela. But then Garanga, okay, and Lord Chaitanya said, you go with Haridas. Make everybody even more confused. You're a Brahmin. Not only will you not move with Brahmins like me, because you're also a high-class Brahmin, Hanai Pandit's son of Eka Chakra. You have famous lineage 500 years ago. So you have to deeply understand the Leela, what risk Nityananda took. And that's the compassion of Radharani that was lying dormant in the heart of Garanga that he wanted to express. Because I did the best I could in my 6 years of traveling South India and meeting Prakashananda and others, Tattvavadis. But now it's a whole lot left. There's a lot of Krunashakti left. So you take a Nityananda. And then at that moment, the Nityananda manifested that Nityananda Shakti of Garanga. And that's why he's called Nityananda. He's Balaram. He's Krishna's brother, Balaram. We say Nityananda, eternally blissful. Okay, that's nice. But is there something more? So this is what I'm understanding. Seeing things and understanding Prabhupada and Nityananda Shakti and all these things together. So then Nityananda he went. And Garanga is telling him, like every guru, every Vaishnava, guru give Krishna Shiksha. Yari Deki Kara Tarika Krishna Upadesh Krishna Shiksha. So Garanga said, give Krishna Shiksha. Because he himself is a representative of Krishna. But then Nitai said, no, I'm Nityananda Shakti. And Nityananda means Ladani Shakti, your eternal blissful potency of Krishna's heart and Gaura's heart. Krishna's Gaura. And I know that actually what's really necessary is Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Loha Gauranga, Namare. So then he, what did he do? Lord Garanga told him, like every guru, now you're a guru. I'm telling you to be guru, initiate, preach to the people in Bengal, etc. And take Haridas. So by taking Haridas with him as his preaching partner, prachar, sangha, associate, Nityananda showed the world that I'm a Brahmin. I'm a worshipper of Garanga. He's told me to teach Krishna's name and Krishna's worship. Like Krishna's teachings. But I'm going to change that. So I'm going to knock on the door and say, I'm not going to say Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna. Nam Krishna Shiksha. I'm going to say, hello. And I'm going to put a straw between my teeth. See? I'm a born Brahmin, and I'm coming to you like a sudra begging employment with a straw between my teeth. And see who I'm coming with? I'm coming with an M, who's been converted by the mercy of my Garanga, Garanga Kripa. And we've come to beg at your door. And we're begging you, Bhaja Garanga, Kaha Garanga, Loha Garanga Namare. Worship Garanga. Follow the teachings of Garanga. Chant Garanga's name. And you'll get all perfection. Because in those teachings and in that name is Braj Bhakti, Radha Bhakti, Radha Govinda Bhakti. Because Garanga didn't come to teach Vaikuntha, didn't come to teach Krishna's teachings to take you to Vaikuntha. He came to teach the heart of Krishna, which is Radha's teachings, to take everyone to Braj Gokul. Radhikara Prema Guru, Amishishina. So this is the teachings that Krishna learned from Radha. Braj Bhakti, Gopika Bhakti, Swapriya Shriyam, the beauty of Radharani Seva, Radha Dasyam. So then Nityananda, with that Nityananda Shakti, went door to door preaching with Haridas. And what a stir it created. It was breaking news in every newspaper, morning and evening. Brahman and M preached door to door. H and M, hand to hand, 500 years ago, are going preaching the message of Gauranga. Revolutionary. Volcanic. Unbelievable. Astonishing. People went mad. Complained. They had pickets and civil disobedience and called the Muslims, arrest them and beat them and lock them up, kill them, plot against them, poison them. But they were undaunted and fearless and they preached. So Prabhupada took that Nityananda Shakti into his heart and he transported it from Navadvip to New York. From New York to New Orleans. Nava means nine or Navad. So he went to New York and New Orleans and established New Vrindavan, a new Jagannath Puri in San Francisco, a new Dwarka in L.A. So this proves that Prabhupada Nityananda Shakti, and to show his respect and love for Nityananda, who he is, there's Nityananda on the altar and there's Nityananda sitting on the asana. Because there's always Shaktiman and Shakti. The Shaktiman is the Murti of Nityananda. He's with Gaur Nitai on every altar. And opposite him, sitting on the Vyasasana, is Prabhupada there as his Shakti, his representative. Sakshatarite nasamasa shastra kintu praborya priyavatasya kintu praborya priyavatasya. Sakshat Nitai, Nityananda Shakti. So this was recognized by Sridhar Maharaj, and it was practically anybody with an eye and a knowledge of tattva and practical experience could understand that what Srila Prabhupada did would be impossible for anyone but Anantashesh. Because Nityananda is Balaram. Balaram is Anantashesh. Balaram is Anantashesh. He's Sankarshan. So all the power of Anantashesh, the whole of the universe, and so many different forms, that's Nityananda Shakti. So Prabhupada had that Nityananda Shakti to hold up the whole, to lift the whole world up. Anantashesh is lifting up the whole universe. Each universe, there's one Anantashesh on top of his head is one universe. There's millions of heads and millions of universes. He's gravity. Sankarshan. Karsha means pulling power, complete pulling power. Sankarshan means gravity, pulling power. You try to get out of the earth and something pulls you down. Right? That's called gravity. It's a karshan, it's a force. But you have a big enough rocket and enough fuel, then you poof! You get beyond the gravity, then you go what they call weightless space. You know, in space you can float without the effect of pulling power of karshan. So Sankarshan is in the atom, not the shesh, is in the atom, pulling everything and holding everything together. He's underneath the universe. So Prabhupada being Ananta Shesh, that's Nityananda Shakti. That means Nityananda means Balaram. Balaram means Ananta Shakti. Ananta Shesh. So he lifted the whole world up on his head. And he went door to door. He went to the derelicts and the bums. And Prabhupada is a high class person. He wasn't a Shudra. He's a pure Hindu, pure devotee. He went to the Bowery. Well, his headquarters was Jagai and Madai's capital city. His headquarters was, his house is right next to Jagai Madai's. There was a bar, and a gas station, and a bar, and all right next to it was just a place like that. And the old San Francisco was in a red light, the old San Francisco temple in Valencia Boulevard, Valencia, I believe, Valencia, and San Francisco is a red light district. It was all Brazos. We went there because in 75 they were moving from that temple to the new temple. And I went as a bhakta to build up Rath Yatra carts in 75 in San Francisco, an empty lot with Jayananda. And the temple, the Berkeley temple wasn't open. Prabhupada came for the Rath Yatra, then opened the Berkeley temple. And in that room there he met Yogi Bhajan and all these different personalities, professors. So we were all staying either at the cart site or at the Valencia temple. Like hundreds of devotees sleeping on the stairs like this. We're at the stairs like this, with a blanket, and then in the loft and in the garage and under the cars and everywhere. It was a Rath Yatra festival. There was no LA Rath Yatra, no New York Rath Yatra. It was the only Rath Yatra in America. And it was the only temple. So when we didn't go out the doors, we watched Chiksebaba and Harinam. They had red light. It was us like this. And that's where the Prabhupada went to establish the San Francisco temple. Valencia Street. First they had a storefront in Haight for a few weeks or whatever, and then they moved to Valencia. It's in Leonore. I saw it. I lived there. I saw the brothels. Unbelievable. So that's Jagai Madai's capital. And Prabhupada just came through like a white lotus and sprinkled everybody with lotus nectar, and then really got purified. So this is Nityananda Shakti. He extended himself to the lowest, most fallen creatures, the prostitutes, the rogues, the rascals, the Jagai Madai. And he didn't care about his name or his fame. Swajanam, like Gopi Bhav. What is that verse? Swajanam Aryapatam, Vrindavanam, what is it? Swajanam Aryapatam, Jahitva. Tustyajam, Swajanam. Tustyajam, Swajanam Aryapatam, Jahitva. Uddhava Mahashaya glorifies the gopis. They didn't care anything. They gave up Tyaji, Tyastyajam. They gave up their birth and their Swajana, their mother, father, everything. To love Krishna, to serve Krishna, to worship Krishna. So Prabhupada gave up everything to worship Krishna, love Krishna, and serve Krishna by carrying Nityananda's mercy. And Nityananda's Shakti is Ladini Shakti, the eternal bliss potency of Sri Krishna. And he went and distributed Nityananda's Shakti all over the world. He sprinkled everyone's heart with Radha Bhav. He's a pure devotee of Radharani. That's his heart. But to express that heart, he needed the mercy of Radharani, is Nityananda Shakti. So that Karuna Radharani came out of the heart of Gauranga as Nityananda, and that Shakti entered the form of Nityananda, became Nityananda Shakti in Nityananda. He's Nityananda. He was eternally blissful before he started preaching. That was his name, Janam name. And he was eternally blissful, even more blissful when he was preaching. So this is Nityananda. Nikunja yuno rati keli siddhai Yayali bir yutir apekshaniya Tatrati dakshadati balavasya Vande guru shi charanaravindam. Guru is the mantra is Radha and Krishna Yugal and Leela. And the Guru is the Nikunja Leela, the Maha Mantra. And Guru is in there, in that mantra, serving the Radha Govinda Yugal and the dance of love and rasa. Rasa mandala of this is a chakra. This chakra, the mala, takes us out of the samsara chakra and puts us in the rasmandala. If you hold the mala up like this, you can make a circle, no? The circle has a little crown on it. So the crown of the rasmandala circle is whom? Radha and Krishna. I think you understand that. And that our headbeat is considered to be, we call it in mantra shastras, for all other Vaishnavas, the leading center bead, 109th bead, you could say, it's called head bead, it's called Mount Meru. Sumeru and Meru are different or the same?
Same.
Sumeru, Meru, same. Both same. Meru, Sumeru. So, but we are Vaishnavas, but we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. There's some Vishesh, which I've already described. What is that Vishesh? Our goal is Braja Gokul. Our Ishta is Radha and Krishna. And all their Vaishnavas, their goal is Vaikuntha. Namaste. That's a big Vishesh. Our Paramgati is different. Our Upasana is different. One and different. We do Ramya Upasana. They do Vishnu Upasana, Rama Upasana, Patri Upasana, the day of the worshippers. Ramya Upasana, Braja Vadu Bir. Our Acharyas are illicit lovers. Braja Vadu, the new wife. We discussed this in some other class. We were there maybe. There's something extraordinary. So, what was the point? I guess.
Center of the bead.
Yeah, thank you. The center bead, they all think it's Mount Meru because the Shastras say it, and that it's Mount Meru, and we don't cross that, and who can cross Mount Meru anyway? It's so high, it's so big. But what do we say? We say it's Radha Govinda Yugal. It's one bead because Radha and Govinda are in one. That bead is Gauranga, that bead is Radha Govinda, depends on how you realize, when. So then that there, in the Rasa Mandala, there's Krishna Gopi, Krishna Gopi, Krishna Gopi, but in the top, the crown of the Rasa Mandala, Rasa Mandala Shiromani is a special gopi named Radha. And a special form of Krishna known as Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Swayam Krishna. And the other is Vaibhava Prakash. They expand all those Krishnas, all the gopis. The one original Krishna never leaves the side of Radharani. Vrindavanam Prityaja Ma Ekapanamagachati or Panamekam Nagachati. Radharani never takes his. Vrindavan means Krishna's heart. Vrindavan means Krishna's heart. Radharani never takes a step out of Krishna's heart. That's the meaning of this verse, because it applies to Radharani and Padmapran. And it also applies to Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. For Krishna, Radharani is, Vrindavan is Radharani's heart. So Krishna never takes a step out of Radharani's heart, and Radha never takes a step out of Krishna's heart. So therefore, Radha Govinda Yugal, that's the head bead. Therefore, and all the 108 beads together, Rasa Mandala, and they're on the top. Dance, dance, dance. Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. I mean, Krishna Gopi, Krishna Gopi, Krishna Gopi. You can see there are all 108 gopis. It's your vision. You can see all 108 gopis dancing for the pleasure of Radha Krishna. Or you can see it's Krishna's expanded forms, and Radharani's expanded forms is all the sakis representing different bhavas, different nayaka bhavas, etc. And they're all dancing. And Radha Krishna, the head bead. And this is Aramala, something extraordinary. That every Vaishnava is 108 mala. And they all chant on Tulsi. But the conception, the bhavana, the idea, and the bhav, this is the mercy of Nityananda. This is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. These realizations, these visions, this is the mercy of Sri Guru Kripa. Guru Kripa gave them. Nityananda. Prabhupada, so much. He would sing Nityananda bhajan, Nitai Guna Mani. He would cry and cry. Every word is drenched with his love for Radha Nityananda. Nitai Parakama. And there's vintage, there's a vintage series which they vintage means Prabhupada did not go into a recording studio, did not have the best mridanga players or play himself, and did not have the best kartal players and the best female devotee singers and the best male singers, which many of those tapes have, like Six Goswami's prayers, which was recorded in Apple Studios, the goats, Krishna Kirtan, and all just like this. He would just be in his room, as Sri Dikirti says. Prabhupada would come in his room after preaching, just pull the harmonium and start singing. I would just sit next to him. No kartal, just harmonium, sometimes only kartal. Prabhupada alone. And Sri Dikirti would come in like a mouse and be quiet. We'll probably look at it sometimes we get the kartals, deeply the kartals. Rahasya Bhajan. And that's called vintage. Vintage series. And Prabhupada sings this Chaito Dharpana Marjan. And some devotee plays tambura. It was in his room. Chaito Dharpana, you know, it's really slow. Dong, 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 dong. I don't know if you ever, very slow, it takes 30 minutes to finish Chaito Dharpana Marjan. You ever heard? The vintage series. Vintage series, vintage means you have something called vintage wine. They take grapes and they ferment them, make wine. So you can buy wine made yesterday, last week. Then there's vintage. Vintage means they make it and they keep it in the dark and all this process. And wine cellars in France and Italy, wine cellar, dark place, cold temperature, this, that. And 10 years, 20 years, 1970, you know, champagne, 1960. Mature. The vintage. So I see that the vintage series of Prabhupada is that everything is rust, but not everything is liquor. Rust, orange juice is rust, milk is rust. Milk in Ayurveda, milk is called rasamrita. It's amrita, it maintains life. Old men live by milk alone, and babies live by milk alone. So therefore it's amrita, it prevents death. Amrita means no death. So, an old man will die if he doesn't have his hot milk. And that's all he can digest. No teeth, no digestion. And baby has no teeth and no digestion. So baby, old man, same. Or one's soft and one's all rough. One has soft cheeks and one... So the Amrit, but so Prabhupada's bhajans are all Amrit. Rasamrit, Bhakti Rasamrit. But his vintage series is wine. Old wine. Old wine taken from the cellar of his heart, the Prem cellar of his heart. He took out the vintage wine privately because it's costly. He only has one bottle. So he says, listen, it's our anniversary. I'm going to take out some of my old stock and we'll have a little party. So then 1963 was a great year for grapes. Famous. So I kind of have some experience. My parents were like, had this stuff. So it's like special, at least you think, you're so jacked up in the mind, you think it must be special. Maybe it tastes the same, God knows. It's all Maya. But it's only an analogy that Prabhupada, when he would sing that, there's nobody, no recording, and Sri Dakirti would just have a tape recorder stuck on the side somewhere, invisibly. Chintamani Prakara Sadmashu. This is vintage series. If you haven't heard it, then vintage series is like deep from the cellar of the fermented bhava of bhakti, of Bhakti Vedanta Swami, coming out effusively and amazingly. It's crying, his voice is choking up. I like these, and it's rough recordings, and it breaks and goes chit chit, that, this, that. You know, they say it's vintage. They never released it until about maybe 10 years ago because it wasn't really up to the mark. BBT, Golden Avatar Studios, Mark, which they had a studio in LA. So then they let it out because it's wonderful and unbelievable. And different ragas for the same old tunes. Hari Hari Haraya Nama. You know, like this, and this one person singing. That's Prabhupada. So this is a glorification of Prabhupada's vintage. Vintage, it's such, they call it the vintage series. What do you guys, right? Vintage people think, oh, vintage means these are old. These are old, unreleased tapes. Oh, vintage means old. Vintage cars. Antique cars means vintage car. Yes? Vintage cars. Vintage edition of a this, that. But vintage, I take it to mean this, because it's full of rust. It's a deep rust from the deep core of the cellar of Prabhupada's heart, this Prem cellar. And he's singing, C-E-L-L-A-R, in that cellar. Gufa, basement. And he says, he and Gauranga, and he and Radha, and he and Nittai. And then Sri Dakirti was like his shadow, he was his servant. Nobody else. And Sri Dakirti wouldn't go call anybody. And just 1 o'clock at night, any time at night, Prabhupada comes back from preaching, wakes up, pulls out his harmonium kartal. He's in Samadhi. Nice verse describing Avirbhav and Tirubhav. So this verse is there about Guru, about a very beautiful verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat. My Vrindavanas Thakur Ki Adi Lila, chapter 15, and this is verse 222, which 221. Hey Sava Lilara Kabu Nahi Pari Ched Avirbhava Tirubhava E Kahe Ved. Although the Vedas describe the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, the Janma Utsav, Janma Lila, and the Moshala Lila of Krishna, disappearance Lila, there is actually no end to his pastimes. There is no end to God's pastimes. They're nitya, eternal. The Avirbhav Tirubhav, the sun rises, the sun sets, the sun is always shining. It's only our perception. Our perception, the sun is shining, it's Prakat Lila. Oh, Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. He's not here now. So, at night, can you see the sun? No. That means the sun has disappeared. It's there. So the sun is always Nitya Sun, Nitya Surya, There's always light is there. But we turn our back or we get covered in a certain way by some arrangement where we can't see the sun. So we get covered by such an arrangement of time and circumstance and consciousness that Krishna's avirbhav or manifestation of prakat lila becomes a disappearance, an avirbhav or an aprakat. We can't see, it's not manifest. So that's Krishna's problem or ours? The sun has a problem with its sunshine, or we have a problem with our vision? Yeah. So Krishna doesn't have a problem with his lila. It's there. You want it? It's I'm here. Anytime. ATM. Anytime. Manifestation. No. Yes. Anytime manifestation. You got the consciousness? I have the manifestation. You have the consciousness? I have the avirbhava. You don't have the consciousness? Then you experience my tirabhava. So the purport, Siddhanta Saraswati said, when Sri Krishna, with his eternal abode, Brajadam, and his Nitya Parishads, associates, appears before the eyes of the people in this material world from Golokadam, it is called the Lord's avatar or Avir Bahav. When Krishna and his eternal abode and associates returns, quote, disappears to the eyes of the people, to his eternally unmanifest kingdom of Golokadam from this material world, it is called Krishna's Antardhan or Tirobhav. By these activities, Krishna demonstrates the difference between his transcendental pastimes and the birth and death of ordinary living entities. The pastimes of the Supreme Lord are actually eternal, unbroken, and uninterrupted. So, as the tattva for Krishna, the tattva for Guru is there. That's why we use the very same terms. The antardhan lila of the Guru, the nitya lila for Vishnu. He's entering the nitya lila. But did he ever come from the nitya lila? He's part of the Karanga's lila, his preaching prachar lila is nitya. Right from one universe to the other. The Guru's there in his sadhaka roop, Guru's sadhaka roop. And his internal meditation, he's in his nitya stroop, his madri, sakha, etc. And the avirbhava pastimes of Radha and Krishna within his mind, the avirbhava are within the aprakat lila there, when he enters there by lila pravesh or sporti, or visporti, a time of bhav and prema, or the advanced siddha, sadhak, or guru. So therefore, the guru, he is, as Krishna has no real avirbhava and tirabhava, he's always in Vrajadam. The Guru is always in Brajadam, or always in Gauradam. Sometimes he manifests before our eyes, and then when he manifests Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela before our eyes, if he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava. If he's not, he manifests Ram Leela and Ayodhya Dham as the goal. And when he disappears, then he disappears from the external vision, but there's something called Antardrishti, Bahir Drishti, Antardrishti. Antardrishti is a presence of the Guru within, and that presence of the Guru within is Chaitya Guru, Paramatma, Antaryami. Guru has gone in, just like Krishna, Antaryami. Krishna has entered from Prakat Lila, he's entered into Aprakat, or has he? The sunshine has entered in from daytime, the sun has entered into nighttime, or has it? The sun has not entered into day or night. We call it the rising, setting, day and night. The sun is always effulgent, existing. So we say Krishna's aprakat lila, his tirobhava, or his prakat lila, his avirbhava. The Guru's avirbhava, or his tirobhava. He's always existing. Sometimes he's visible, sometimes he's resting in the heart with Krishna, Govinda Vishram. And then we search for him. Where are you, Guru? I'm looking for you. I'm suffering. That's why you're looking for me. Then Krishna directs you. This is so wonderful because in Gita, Krishna is saying, Ishvara Sarvabhutana, Ridhashvara Tishtati, Brahmayan Sarvabhutana, Yantra. The pious jivas that have that Sukriti, the super soul directs the jiva to Guru, who comes out of the heart as Guru, then becomes the Avirbha, Prakat. Ah, my Guru. And then the Guru, he trains you and then he takes you back into your heart. You get from Bayer Drasti seeing Guru Bayer, then you start to see Guru Antar, you see Guru in your heart. And if the Guru has a Tirobhav, or he leaves, like this Prabhupada's Tirobhav, he appears to leave our external vision, and he's never left, but then he has an Avrabhav in our heart, this Chaitya Guru. So then he speaks from within the heart. So that's his, I mean, that's his uppercut position. Apparently unseen or unmanifest. Prabhupada left 23 and 11 is 34 years ago, I suppose. 1977, that becomes 34 years. So 34 years, so he left or he didn't leave? He went from Tirobhav to Avrabhav. Tirobhav externally, Avrabhav internally. Just like it's sunset here and sunrise in Japan. Today, now at 6 o'clock, it's sunset in India, or it's, let's say, Delhi, and sunrise in Tokyo. So the Guru is sunset externally and sunrise in the heart. That's Chaitya Guru. So when we celebrate Tirobhav, we're also celebrating Avrabhav. When we celebrate Avrabhav, we're celebrating Tirobhav. And in both celebrations, we realize that Guru is always there. He's Prakat when we surrender, and we have the Sukriti, and he's Aprakat when we don't surrender. And he's Prakat when we're a sadhaka serving him in his manifest Prakat Leela. And he's Aprakat when we're a sadhaka serving him in his Tirobhav Leela. So Avrabhav, Tirobhav, we're always serving Guru. This is the beautiful point we can attain from this verse. So this is a very interesting point about the Guru, and it very much touches my heart, and it seems to apply somewhat to us in some vague way, or maybe more profound way, that all of us may individually realize as we serve Prabhupada and Radha and Krishna and Gauranga together in the remaining days of our lives. So this article will talk about the different the sarupa of the Guru, and we'll talk about the Guru's Yuta, like Saki Gan, Radharani is called, Lalita is called Yuteshwari, and Radharani I suppose is called Vrindavaneshwari, she's a Yuteshwari of all the Yuta, you know, it's Y long U, T H A soft, whatever, Yuta. But if you say Juta, and then it becomes shoes or whatever, you know, Juta. So it's Y long U, Yuta. And that means group. There's gun and group, I think there's some different differentiation. So this article says the Guru has his own Yuta. That's a very interesting point. Because we have a small number and we don't feel inspired. And one, it's touching me because one of my well-wishers, one sannyasi, Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi, he said that when people approach you, a very learned person, so for initiation, you should examine whether or not they are your eternal disciples or not. You'll know in your heart whether these particular people that come to your shelter, to your hear from you, are you actually your eternal followers or not. Of course, there's a lot of assumption there that you're some kind of sadguru or whatever, but this is the principle. So be very selective. And this is told also in Hari Bhakti Vilas. The eternal sarup, meaning intrinsic form, or tattva, eternal truth, regarding Sri Guru, is not that of being the enjoyer, bhokta. For Guru is a topmost servant of Sri Krishna. Rather than being the enjoyer, the Guru maintains the ego of being poshya and palya. And posh means ignorant. He's nourished and protected by his own Gurudev. My Gurudev is nourishing me and he's protecting me. When I'm in trouble, I call out Prabhupada. When Indra was harassed by a ghost, nothing worked. And his statement, he's told that story many times, some ghost bothered him one night, you know. And he cried out, Nitai, and Giriraj, and Radha, and Shyam, and Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the ghost was still He described one head, no neck, just a head, yellow, this, that horrible feature. And he saw, and he was laughing at him, and he would say, Hare Krishna. The ghost would say, ha ha, Hare Krishna. He must have heard. He's told the story numerous times on the Vyasa song to glorify Prabhupada. And then I said, Nitai, Nitai. And the ghost said, Nitai, Nitai. Making fun of me. So now I was disturbed. I was anxious about this unwanted guest, this ghost. So then I thought, I just tried, Prabhupada, 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 feed me, Prabhupada. And then, poof, we flew away. So Prabhupada's, he's the protector. He's the palya and poshya. So the guru is the palya. So the guru feels that I'm being poshya and palya, I'm being nourished and protected by my own Gurudev. And also by the followers of my Gurudev, means my Gurubhais. The guru never maintains the ego of being their protector or maintainer. The guru never maintains the ego that I am the protector or I am maintaining my disciples. I am not the palaka or the, he says palaka. The ashraya vigraha, the abode of loving devotion, never can, the guru, he's the ashraya, like prem ashraya and prem vishaya. The ashraya, the abode of shelter, guru pada shraya, is the first step of bhakti and bhakti rasamrita sindhu. There's 64 lines of bhakti, begins with guru pada shraya, and it says shiksha diksha adinam. It begins with shiksha, no, diksha, shiksha, adinam. There's shelter, then the second thing is diksha, and the third thing is shiksha, then the fourth thing is vishrambena gurur seva. This is the fourth name of bhakti, vishrambena gurur seva. So first, shelter, shraddha, sharanagati, shelter, ashraya. And then there's diksha, diksha. Diksha, and then there's shiksha, because diksha opens the heart to receive shiksha. But diksha is not given until the follower is actually surrendered and actually really taken ashraya. Till then, there's like trial, whatever it is that. So the ashraya vigraha, the abode of loving devotion, never considers himself to be the enjoyer of those who take his shelter, ashraya. Sri Guru prepares everyone in his yuta, or group. Sri Guru prepares everyone in his particular group, or his shishyagan, or his students, to be an instrument of Krishna's pleasure. Please Krishna, serve Krishna. And thus, through his disciples, the Guru brings enjoyment to Sri Krishna. Right? The guru can make sweet rice. That's it. If he's lucky and really attentive, he can put all his energy and spend a couple hours in the kitchen and make sweet rice and hope he doesn't burn it. But disciples of the guru can make 50 preparations or 100 or whatever. And that's very nice. Krishna becomes so pleased. One preparation is nice, but 50, 100, whatever. So then the disciples help their instruments to assist the guru and serving and pleasing Krishna. And thus, through his disciples, he brings enjoyment to Sri Krishna. Sweet rice is nice, but 56 preparations is nicer. So he enjoys more. He's the bhokta. I'm not the bhokta. After 21 years, Girish is getting a wonderful feast, and I'm eating khichdi. Steamed vegetables. Because he's a bhokta. I hanker for a taste, but I'm satisfied with a drop of charanamrita. That's nice. If I get a little more charanamrita, it's even better. This year I got half a glass. Some people got a drop. Because it wasn't that much. He's small. Sort of small charanamrita. So it is for this reason that the guru brings so much enjoyment through the instrument of his disciples, it is for this reason that the guru is known as Mukunda Prashta. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prashtaya. This is a pranam prayer that was composed by a sannyasi disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta to glorify his guru. And that prayer was adopted by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. May we use this prayer to glorify you? And he said, yes. And then they added another verse specifically about Prabhupada, the disciples. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavali Paschatyadi Shatarane. Because the speciality of Prabhupada's contribution and his welfare work for the world. I mean, everything's so special. I mean, you can write so many more verses, which many devotees have, to glorify Prabhupada. That's the general pranam mantra that stuck. But Om Vishnu Prashtaya, Vishnu means Mukunda Prashtaya. Mukunda Prashtaya, Vishnu Prashtaya. For this reason, what reason? That the Guru does not... That the Guru does not consider himself the bhokta, the enjoyer of his disciples, nor does he consider himself the maintainer of his disciples, the poshana, nor does he consider, or the palya, nor does he consider himself the protector of his disciples. Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the protector, and Krishna is nourishing. They're not my disciples. They may be, can say, my students, but it's Krishna's school. He's the dean. So the students actually belong to the school. So when you're in my classroom, you're my students, but actually you belong to the school. I don't give you the degree. It doesn't have my name on your degree. It has the name of the school. Yes? The school that you attend. So you actually belong to the school. So the school thinks, we have a very good student in our school, don't they? She was toppers in our school. Our school competed with your school in our school. So he has that mamata, because you actually belong to the school. And this analogy, the school is Krishna. Because we are Krishna Das, not Guru Das. We're Krishna Das. Through Guru, we're serving Krishna. Through Guru, we're realizing and developing our Krishna Dasatva. Our tendency to serve Krishna, which is innate and primordial and eternal. A Guru Seva, we're called Krishna Das. Jivara Surabhaya Guru Nityadas. No. Krishna, what is it? Jivara Surabhaya Krishna Nityadas. Guru is also Krishna Das. I hope so. Well, this is nice. It's saying, for this reason, he's most dear to Sri Krishna because he gives him so much pleasure. Why is he Mukunda Prashta? Prashta. Prashta means Priya, means very dear. Mukunda means he's free. He's free from the tendency for bhakta, for being the enjoyer. And he's free from the tendency to be the controller. And he's free from the tendency to be falsely think he's the protector or the owner. So that's why he's Mukunda Prashta. So from one side, the guru is Mukunda because he's liberated from misconceptions. Sarvapati Vinirmuktam Tattaparatvina Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikinam Sevanam Bhakti Uchita. He can do pure bhakti because he's free from upadis. Guru can have his pratishtha consciousness also. So that's an upadi. Go to Haridwar and see how much upadi in gurus. Sarvapati Vinirmuktam. So then, he himself is Mukunda Prashta. He's Mukunda and he's become dear to Krishna because he's free. Mukunda means giver of mukti. But the term generally means, that's the internal bhava of the meaning, but the external meaning is, he's dear to the one who gives liberation. He's a prashna, he's a priya, Krishna priya, Hari priya, Hari jan, Hari priya, Krishna priya. And he's dear to the one who gives liberation, and he's dear to the one who has a beautiful smile. Krishna's smile is like kunda flowers, muk, face, kunda. Those beautiful white kunda flowers, they're shaped a little like teeth. I'll show you, we have growing in the garden. The kunda flowers, they blossom in the winter. Kundalata brought them. So the kunda flowers, they're kind of like pointed, like little, you know, they're little like, they're white and they kind of go like, it looks like a tooth. So his teeth, the row of Krishna's teeth, are shining white and beautiful like Kunda flowers. You see this Krishna's arrow. So that's our, we're dear to that Mukunda. Because Krishna kisses his devotees. He kisses Balaram. He kisses the Sakas. He kisses his mother. And he kisses the gopis, Radhika. He kisses the cows, doesn't he? Yes. They lick his body. He kisses them. This is prema lingata, chumbaka. That's the intimacy of Krishna and Vrindavan. Lip to lip, nail to nail, tooth to tooth, heart to heart, body to body, mind to mind. This is Krishna. So close. This close. Can't separate. That's Krishna. So accessible, so dear, so near, so close, so intimate, so confidential, so heartly. And the Guru is, Prabhupada is that. He's Mukunda Krishna, Vishnu Krishna. It is for this reason that Srila Prabhupada or Sri Guru is most dear to Sri Krishna. Which means Mukunda Krishna. Due to being the topmost servant within his yuta, or his gurutva, his quality being Sri Guru, and his acharyatva, his guru's quality of being the ideal spiritual preceptor, are thus established. So if one is a guru, if he has the fullest quality of a guru, and he of a spiritual preceptor and guru, then in his yuta, in his group of servants, he should be the best servant. He should be the most das. That's what's being told, and that's practically seen. Prophet cooked for the devotees. He served them out with his own hand. They just left a bunch of dirty China bowls that somebody donated from the South Asian army. China's all moochy. China's like some funky glass or something. And you can't get clean. Stainless steel is actually clean. China never gets clean. It's like a moochy thing. Use it once and throw it away. But nobody does. China, you know, China's some porcelain thing or something. You know, porcelain covering. So I had these old bowls I got from the Salvation Army free store. Take all your old clothes and give it to the Salvation Army and they sell for 10 rupees a pair of pants and this and that. I have dinnerware, this, that, spoons. So all this stuff came from there. It was all eaten by meat eaters. This, that, all kinds of people ate the soup, this, that, from it. Probably washed it and served da, mahaprasad, da, and roti and sabji with his own hand. And they just get up and leave and go out and have a cig, you know, smoke. And probably pick up the bowls and wash them. Das, das, and das. And there's so many stories. Prabhupada is like so humble. Unbelievable. So we saw, he's a Yuteshwar. He's a Yuteshwari, Yuteshwara. In his Sakhi group, he has his name. We know his name. We know his form. And he's a leader of that group. We're in that group. And he's in Naina Mandri's group. And that's his leader. So it's a leader within a leader within a leader. Mother Yashoda looked in Krishna's mouth and saw Krishna. So inside Krishna's mouth, she saw Krishna. And she saw herself looking at Krishna. So it's like this. This is nice. So he says that due to his being a topmost servant within his particular yuta, his quality of being the ideal spiritual preceptor is established. Because it's a yuta, a seva yuta. All the disciples are serving units. So he's come on, look, I'm serving. Let's serve. Come on, everybody serve. Serve your God brothers. Hari Seva, Guru Seva, Vaishnava Seva. It's blissful, it's beautiful. It's sweet, it's intimate. Whatever required. This is the ideal. It's natural. I guess I should serve my God brother. I guess I should do this. Keep going. That's artificial. At least you can try it. Service to the guru's service to his own yuta, mamata, which is his instrument of giving pleasure to Krishna, is his everything. Very interesting. The guru's, in other words, let's make it English, the guru's service to his disciples, preach to them, to nourish them, to show them an example, etc., is his own service, is the guru's instrument of giving pleasure to Krishna. Like if I'm a shipping agent, all my trucks are all busted and I can't ship anything. I'm managing a company, so I have to keep all my trucks in good shape to deliver the goods. So it's a terrible analogy. But all of it just came out of nowhere. Probably should retire to nowhere. But the idea is that the guru has a fleet of servitors, so they have to be in good running order. They have to be healthy. Right? So not a bad analogy. He has a fleet. Fleet means a group of trucks, you know, fleet. Or it can be a naval fleet or whatever, fleet of cars, fleet of boats. A group of, so then he has, you know, so his cars, you know, are not healthy, and they're sick, and they're anxious, and they're, so the guru has to be concerned with the physical welfare of the devotees, Vatsalya Bhav. Father feeds and protects the children, although he doesn't take on the feeder or protector. Like someone says, oh, you're giving us your dried fruits, this, that. It's not mine, it's his. Oh, you don't have enough food. Oh, whatever's there, you take it. He gave it. So this is the idea. So that he wants souls, if all his followers are well nourished and are healthy and happy and peaceful, then with this instrument of his yuta, then he can get together and render a beautiful service to his Yuteshwara, his own Gurudev, or to Yuteshwari Radha, Yuteshwari Lalita, Rupa. So this is a training ground for the yuta. Yuta here, yuta there. Yuteshwara here, Sri Guru, Yuteshwari there, Sri so and so Mandri or whatever. Deep, but real. Service to his own yuta, which is the Guru's instrument of giving pleasure to Krishna, is the Guru's everything. And you see, Prabhupada, he lived for his disciples. He did everything for his disciples. He fed them, protected them. Oh, you look cold, take my sweater. Oh, Prabhupada, next temple someone else will give me another one. In 2 hours I fly to another temple. Just take it. It's cold here. I'm going to India. Keep it. Oh, Prabhupada, you know, one of your disciples made that, took 6 months to make it. Forget it. Just take it. And the lady, she worked 6 months knitting handmade sweater for Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada wore it for one class, she sat there, she's happy, there's a picture. Then afternoon, in his room conversation, he gave it to a brahmachari. And late, next day, hey, you stole Prabhupada's sweater. I did not. This is Guru Prasad. You know, everyone saw Prabhupada wore this yesterday, and he gave it to me. Whatever. Maybe not be so bold, but Prabhupada get a watch, you get a Rolex watch. Solid gold, $5,000. Someone said, Prabhupada, you know, I'm supposed to fly to Tokyo, Ramananda or something. My watch, and I'm supposed to meet these guys, my watch is going junk. He said, take this. He got it at 9 o'clock, he donated at 10 o'clock. $5,000 Rolex, you know, the president's model, or gold one, or whatever the hell they call it. He got so many. One time, Prabhupada, there's a picture, I don't know if it's a picture or someone told me, but Prabhupada went to some Vyasa Puja and they got about 10 watches and he put them all on his wrist. He had 10 watches on his left wrist, you know, 10 of Titan and whatever good ones there are, you know, Cartier, this, that, and that kind of. It was different temple presidents or rich followers. He said, look, this is my guy. So this is, it's his everything. His service to his disciples is his service to Krishna. Because if my disciples are happy and inspired, and they love me so much, they cook 500 offerings or 100 offerings, well, great. Okay, whatever it is, the ends justifies the means as far as I'm concerned. I care about Giriraj and Krishna and Radha and Prabhupada. I'll live for them, die for them. You come and go, fine. You belong to them, not me. I'm an instrument of his will. You love me, great. It's good for you, it's good for me. If you don't love me, okay. So, oh, this, that. Look at the result. That's the whole idea. The center is there, not me. You make 700 preparations, 100, whatever you do. You sing, you translate, you do whatever you cook, you raise your kids. It's for him, for them. I say, all glories to you, and all glories to her, and all glories to him. Moreover, the Guru's very existence is solely with his yuta. So you see that, practically speaking. Now look at our world today. We have Hungary, ISKCON, and there's some dynamic preaching front there. I mean, maybe others, but I know there's Hungary, ISKCON, and it's everybody's hungry for Rasa Gata there, so that's why it's called Hungary. And there's a whole reservoir of Rasagata there in Pujipad Srila Shivaram Maharaj. And other great god brothers go and do kirtan, Vivi Govinda Maharaj and Indradyumna, Raghunath Swami, etc. But he has a whole yatra there with like 1,000 disciples. And he knows Hungarian language, and he has a farm and deities and all kinds of rustic Sringar. So that's his yuta. That's Shivaram's Maharaj's yuta. Then in Chokhali Beach we have Raghunath Swami's yuta. And New Delhi we have Gopal Krishna Maharaj's yuta. And Bhuvaneshwar we have Gorgovinda Swami's yuta. And it's like this. And some places are eclectic or whatever. L.A., if you go to Los Angeles, it's Srila Prabhupada's yuta. I mean, there's some gurus are there, but we don't know. It's Prabhupada's place, L.A. And Lachula, Prabhupada's yuta. So many major Prabhupada disciples of Lachula, Florida, one side, East Coast and West Coast. So every guru has his yuta, and they get together. It's a special flavor. And so this is very sweet, because it's the same up there. There's thousands and thousands of Radhas and thousands of Krishnas and thousands of Litas and Vishakas, and all every group has its Radha and Krishna. It's like unlimited. And there's thousands of Sevakunjas and thousands of Nidivans and thousands of Radhakuns. It's inconceivable. Because it's all personal, it's all localized. It's not like, you know, you get a ticket, oh, you're a mantri, you're a mantri number 17 million. And you know, you'll get a chance to offer your ground to Radharani in 17 million light years. It's not like that at all. It's fully intimate. When you read the books, oh, when will I get a chance to massage your feet or paint your feet with lac dye? That when doesn't mean 50 million years. You'll, when you come to Siddhasroop in Vastu City and enter the Divine Leela, then you'll do that service within moments. That's the yuta. Moreover, the Guru's very existence is solely with his yuta. Bahur bir militwa yat kirtan tadeva sankirtan. When many people collectively perform sankirtan, or kirtan, that is sankirtan, Sri Guru performs such sankirtan. Both the Guru's close servants, like the, Vapu Sevites, Vani Sevites and Vapu Sevites. Both the Guru's close servants, those who render service to his personal form, which means body, as well as those who perform other prominent services, kirtan, preaching, family raising, cooking, etc., book distribution, maintaining temples, managing, other services, those would be the Vani Sevites, Guru Vani Sevites, I'm just putting that, and his remote servants constitute his yuta, his group. He has his Vapu Sevites and his Vani Sevites, and they're all in his yuta, his group. If the close servants, serving the body, cooking for him, washing clothes, and of course that's Hari Das Mosi, I cook, but he washes the clothes, and cleans the pots, and like that. But if his close servants, if the close servants, Vapu Sevites, think they are the only servants, and that the remote servants, Vani Sevites, have neither a service mood nor caring feelings, or if the close servants think they are the only servants, and that the remote servants have neither a service mood nor caring feelings, or if the remote servants think like this about the close servants, then their service, both their service to Sri Guru is incomplete. In order to render complete service to Sri Guru, one must not just serve him, but his entire yuta. That's interesting. So basically he's trying to emphasize that there should be mutual appreciation and gratitude and appreciation of all the Sevites of the Guru, those that are intimately serving his personal body, Vapu Sevites, or the Vani Sevites, or maybe Gurus and Radhakund and the Sevites in Bombay. I think that's close that. So I just wanted to read a few pages about Radha Damodar. In 1962, Bhaktivedanta Swami changed his residence and moved from Vamshi Gopal to Radha Damodar. He was paying rent there from 1959 That's interesting, because he liked the room, but he wasn't ready to move. From 1959 to 1962, for 3 years, he was paying rent for his rooms while extensive repairs were going on. So you can see India, things go pretty slow. It took him 3 years to get some plaster on the wall and a fan put in, and that's about all he did, and paint the walls. Things are slow. Still are. And he paid 5 rupees a month, which is a good rent. And he had electric lighting put in and a fan, and the walls were plastered and painted. The room was 7 feet. Oh, that's interesting. It was 7 feet by 15 feet. Because my room at Gopal Mandir was about 7 feet by 15 or 6 by 17. Gopal Mandir. Yes. The room was furnished, the floor was sandstone squares of uneven size, the same as the stone tiles cemented in the front of the Samadhi Rupa Goswami, which were all there until a few years ago. And Prabhupada's rooms are still there. The room was furnished with a small low desk, a kusha mat, and a wooden cot with a rope woven surface to lie on. You saw that. You know those beds they have, those charpai with that really uncomfortable funky rope, not the webbing but the rope type, juta I think so. And the view was not panorama. When he was in Keshigad, he looked out his window and saw the Yamuna, and so beautiful the view was, the courtyard, but the neighborhood was not so secluded, it was very busy. But now, even without moving from his room, Prabhupada could look into the temple and see a portion of the altar and the 4 foot high form of Vrindavan, Chandra, the black marble Krishna deity. From his bedroom, he could look out his window and can see that he couldn't see Damodar because of his eye, but he could see Krishna Chandra was on the far left, I believe so. And this is supposedly Krishna's, Kaviraj's deity, they say. The main room was connected to the kitchen by a 10-foot long veranda, and from his kitchen he could see the Samadhi Rupa Goswami. The place was superior because now he was living in the temple of Jiva Goswami, and where they had six Goswamis had taken prasad and used to discuss Bhagavatam. And this was the best place for Prabhupada to work on the Bhagavatam. At 1 a.m., when no one else was up and it was quiet, very quiet, Bhaktivedanta Swami would wake and begin writing. Since electric failures were not uncommon in Vrindavan, he would often work by lantern light. But in any case, I often use flashlights. I've often written by flashlight. But in any case, a beam of light would shine out from his room onto the veranda. While inside the room, he worked under the brightness of this oil lamp, lantern. While Prabhupada wrote in stillness, sometimes a frog, as dry as the stone floor, would hop out of a hiding place and hop across the floor in front, exiting through the cement window. Sometimes a tiny mouse would run out from behind a window shutter and hide in another place. Otherwise, the room was complete sanctified stillness, and the inspiration of being in the presence of the six Goswamis was strong. Good writer. Above the open courtyard, the sky would be full of clearly visible stars. As Prabhupada worked, the only sounds at 1 a.m. would come from the town, perhaps of a dog barking in the distance. At 4 a.m., the temple pujari, who slept under a shelter near the didi doors, would awake, turn on an electric light, and with a long pole, clear the bats from the rafters. So when people came for Mangal Arati, the bats in the rafters, which means the beans, would not poop on the people. Right? At 5 a.m., after waking the didis, the pujari would open the doors and begin Mangal Arati. He would offer a flame while a few resident devotees gathered and chanted, playing instruments. Usually someone would bang a gong while someone else rang a large bell. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Any sound from the courtyard immediately carried to Bhaktivedanta Swami's quarters, and the clanging bell and gong would suddenly reverberate against the walls of his room, which anybody who's lived there knows, because he stayed there in Sanskrit. From Prabhupada's sitting place, he could only see Vrindavan Chandra. Sometimes he would pause in his work, walk into the courtyard and see the deities in their arti. Because we wrote 2 books there ourselves, and we would do the same thing. You'd get tired, what do? You go see Krishna. What else? And then,
After 10 minutes, the Bhajari, having offered the flame and conch shell filled with water, would turn and sprinkle offered water and had some devotees ceremony within. After working a few hours in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada would sit in his room and chant japa. As the morning sky turned light blue, the stars would vanish, Vrishvasis would arrive to visit the deities and the samadhis of the Goswamis. Old women would enter the temple crying out, Jayarathi! When Bhagavananda Swami opened the shutters, the window, there's a stone window and then stone like jali and then some wooden shutters. His room would fill with light from the sun. His windows faced the courtyard, but they were not so much windows as cement latticework in the wall. Although passersby could not easily see into the room, the latticework allowed light to enter. Actually, a beautiful design. Can't see it, but the light comes in. And it doesn't break. Glass breaks. In the morning light, it's 300 years old and still not broken. In the morning light, the room was clearly visible, the arched ceiling, the freshly painted walls, the arched niches, the floor of inlaid stone. Bhaktivedanta Swami's thin sannyas thunder wrapped in heavy saffron khadi leaned against one corner of the room. Describing the tadya. The room's two doors appeared flimsy even when locked because they have these chain locks. So when you lock them, you just push them and they open 6 inches. And one door goes like that and there's some little thing like this and you put a chain like that. So you can just push it and it goes like this and you can look in. Because the chain gives you about 6 inches leeway, the two doors you can peek in. still like that. The room's two doors were flimsy. Seeing the brand, he would view the courtyard. Poor people and local businessmen, their wives and colorful saris, all devotees headed towards the altar calling, Jai Ho! Jai Ho! Jai Radhe! Jai Radhe! As a greeting of deities, they disappear through the door and do parikrama around the samadhis. Although there were hundreds of small temple-like tombs honoring the Vaishnavacharyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami would regularly visit the chief samadhis of Jiva and Bhaktivedanta Saraswati and Krishnadas. Prabhupada often sat in front of the Bhajan Kuti Rupa Goswami and chanted japa before his samadhi, rather. Bhaktivedanta Swami would sit and chant even after the early morning rush of visitors, or sometimes he would walk to nearby temples of Radha Shama Sundar or Radha Madan Wahan. Always returning by 11 to cook his meal. He was very regulated. As he cooked, his whole life he ate by 12:30. As he cooked and later he sat to take his prasadam, he'd see through the window of the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. Feeling Rupa Goswami's presence, he would think of his own mission for his spiritual master. Devotees of Lord Chaitanya are known as Rupa Nuga, followers of Rupa Goswami. In June, the weather was intolerably hot, and one could not remain active throughout the afternoon. During the most oppressive hours of the hot summer days, Bhaktivedanta Swami would shut his doors and shutters and run the overhead fan. I remember that, shutting the doors for Prabhupada in the afternoon and going to the kitchen. We didn't have any fan in the kitchen, so it was really hot, really hot. 47, 48 one summer I was there. And it was the west wall of the kitchen, the sun sits on it. It's on the west, so it's like cooked chapatis there. So I asked the Goswami if I can put in a fan, ceiling fan. So we have to knock a hole in the wall, so do it carefully. So I put in a big pipe like this across the wall, because there's no way to mount it. Then we mounted the fan in there. So it's still there, I guess. So I added that. Prabhupada put a fan in one room, and I added a fan to the other room. For the Sevites, myself also, and the visitors, the devotees. So by evening, the heat would cool down, and a flurry of visitors would again come to the temple. Bhaktivedanta Swami probably would sometimes talk with visitors, or sometimes they'd come to his door and observe him as he worked on his typewriter. His old Remington typewriter. You go like, press the key and go, like down like this with the key, then it goes, boink. And then it goes boink, and if you go too fast, they go boink. You type too fast, because I had a typewriter like that when I was in high school. You know, some funky thing. Because it's a prehistoric typewriter, which you can't even conceive of as a new age person. But you hit the key, and if you go too fast, the A goes over the X, and it goes boink. And they all just jam up over it, then you gotta go
Like this, get all ink all over your fingers and everything. Grab and wipe it on the things. So.
A. Then T H E N D man came to D S T O R E to B U Y A Bhagavad Gita.
The man came to the store to buy a Bhagavad Gita. The typing is so slow.
So probably it's typewriters on display, I think, in Bombay. You saw? It looks like some little baby. It's about, even I had a bigger one. That's like this big. You know, little thing about this big. But this big, it's kind of high like this. You know, it's like this. Because the keys have to go down so far. You know. A.
And boy, your fingers get really strong.
Probably typing. And sadhu typing, it's quite an interesting thing. 1965, 60, 62, 63. So there he is, relentlessly, undaunted, alone. Lifetime in preparation. Unbelievable. He was known in Vrindavan as a scholar and a sublime devotee, but he kept to himself as much as possible. Jai Ho. Especially in the summer of 62, working on Srimad Bhagavatam. This book was given to me by somebody else. It has a marking here and it has a little heart next to this. It has a marking on this paragraph. It says a heart. Interesting. Some symbol there, not mine. No heart. That was Prabhupada's real purpose in coming to Radhadamodar Mandir, to repair the books he could distribute to the people of the West. Although as yet he had no means or money or facility to travel even to Japan, and no means for printing his books even, he just kept writing. He had no money, no support, no life members, no rich friends. He's from Calcutta. He's a Bengali. He had so many friends there, but they're Vrindavan. These were the goals which he worked for. He had not come to Vrindavan to die and go back to Godhead. He had come to Vrindavan because it's the ideal place to do bhajan and gain spiritual strength for his life's main life's work. The exact shape of his future mission, Bhaktivinoda Swami did not know. Sounds like me. But he did not know that he must prepare himself for preaching the Bhagavatam to the English-speaking Western world. He must become a perfectly equipped instrument of his masters. And if his masters desired, they would send him to the West. I, Srila Prabhupada, must become a perfectly equipped instrument of my masters, my Guru and Param Guru and Paratara Guru, Gaurakishore Das and Babaji Maharaj, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Nod Thakur of Nayanamani Mandri and Guna Mandri and Kamala Mandri. I must become a perfectly equipped instrument of my masters. That applies to all of us and me also. And if our masters desire, they will send us to a particular place or place us in a particular, they will send us to a particular seva, which will become our Prabhu Datta Desh. Prabhu, my Prabhu. My Nam Prabhu, my Guru Prabhu. My Master, my Lord and Master, birth after birth, he will send me to a place from which I'll never return. That's how the Kshatriyas say. I will send you to a place. Shishupal from, no, what's that guy? Pondraka. I will send you, Pondraka, with my arms to a place from whence you will never return. These are fighting words. Of course, he knocked off his arms and his head and everything else. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. So Guru may place the devotee, Datta Desh, he'll place him. Not necessarily country or city, stay home, but he'll place you. You preach in college, you preach in the congregation, you do this. That's the place. So then we become whatever they desire. We will place ourselves and be sent. And accept that as our Prabhu Guru, our Prabhu Datta Desh. You do this service. Most valuable, one of the unlimited valuable statements that my guru said that struck deep in my heart, he said, devotional service is voluntary. Because it's love. It's bhakti. You want to serve, you serve. You know, don't. I don't. Who needs? The guru doesn't need anyone. He needs the mercy of his guru and Krishna. And the Vaishnavas, Hari Guru, we heard, we read about that. He needs the mercy. We read all these bhajans, Vaishnava, Sakala Vaishnava, Kripa Guru. I need mercy. I don't need service. I don't need your money or seva. We don't need. And it's the same true with all of us. We all need seva. It's dynamic. Love is dynamic. It moves in its own course. It can't be dictated, it can't be regulated, it can't be controlled, it can't be legislated. It's a free flow of the heart. Everyone has a heart and it's free. The hearts are free and independent eternally. That's given by God. Let that free flow and that independent flow. Let it move. If the Guru is such that he opens your heart and makes it move, all glories, Sri Guru Ki Jai. That's the Guru, that's your Guru. The Guru doesn't open your heart and make it move, and he's just a dictator, he says, serve this, go out, make this, collect this money, just that. That's something. But that's not really the touch of bhakti. It's a touch of duty. Oh, I need a Guru. That's a touch of duty. But bhakti is touch of bhakti vedanta. My Guru is bhakti vedanta. He touched my heart, not my mind. My mind, okay, that's hard to touch that. He touched my heart. So I gave my life. Unless someone touches your heart, how do you give your life? Impossible. You can give some service, you can give some money. So that's Guru Bhakti. And that's Shishya Bhakti. Prabhupada, Shishya Bhakti, he had loved it. He's Bhaktivedanta, means he loved his disciple. He loved and he loves his disciples. He loves all his followers. Director is, his sons or his grandson. The grandfather only likes his son, loves his sons, he doesn't love his grandsons. It seems he loves his grandsons more. That's what the sons complain about. You don't give me any money, but you give the grandson so much money. Oh, you're working, you jerk. You give me a hard time, you always give him candy and favors. So, as Prabhupada said, aptly so, the grandfather is more merciful to the children than the father. So Prabhupada is your grandfather. He's bhakti. His name is bhakti. Vedant. He's swamini. He's a swami. He's swamini. Swami, swamini. Swamini Radha, Swami Krishna. Swami Jesus. When Prabhupada was in Butler, Pennsylvania, the lady had a kid named Gopal or something like that. Bridge. His name was Bridge. The husband's name was Gopal Agarwal, and the daughter's name was Sally Agarwal. An American married an Indian named Agarwal, businessman in America in Butler, Pennsylvania. And they had a son. While Prabhupada was living there, they had a son, or he was there, this, that. And his name was Bridge. He was named after Bridge. So Prabhupada, we used to play with him and train him. So then she saw, because she was Christian or whatever she was, Indian, Hindu, whatever she was. But she saw pictures of Jesus, actually being in America. And Prabhupada had these flowing robes, although no beard and all that. But Jesus has brown eyes in most posters. Sometimes he's also different, but this, that, the other thing. Because he did have brown eyes, he was from that part of the world. So he had brown eyes, and Prabhupada had brown eyes. And so she said, Swami looks just like Jesus. Can I call him Swami Jesus? That's in Lila Amrita. So then Prabhupada said yes. And Prabhupada wrote a letter to her, Sally, but he said, I'm so happy that your child, Braj, he sees me as Swami Jesus. I feel it's a great honor that I'm associated with Jesus, Prabhupada humbly said. That Jesus is a representative of God, a guru, and an ideal personality, as certainly Srila Prabhupada is. So we'll close that. That's his mission, and that's where it all began, and we're the successful fruits of Prabhupada's Kripa Kalpataru, ISKCON Kripa Kalpataru, the ISKCON tree of Kripa, mercy.